Welcome to the Binge Breakers podcast. I'm Jacqueline. I am here to teach you how I overcame bulimia and my binge eating disorder, and how you can too. Through simple steps of mind management, repairing your relationship with yourself, understanding your habits, and intuitive eating.
Disclaimer, this recording is not intended to be used as medical advice, nor is it advice from a doctor. I am a coach, a recovery coach, and I offer advice from my own experience and my clients, but please, if you think you are in need of medical help, seek it immediately. We'll also be talking about subjects such as binging and purging, depression, and other sensitive topics, so if those trigger you, please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to the podcast. Today's episode is a recovery 101, and this one's the big one, the one everyone always asks me about, which is, how do I stop binging? I'm going to make this, I'm going to say a simple how-to, and then we're going to expand on it. Because if I just gave you this answer, I know people are going to be like, but this thing, it's not that simple. And I just want to say it simply so that you can process it. And no matter what, you can always fall back on these words. So if I were to stop binging, to try to stop binging today, and what I'd tell anyone who wants to stop binging is, one, you have to eat enough. You have to be taking in enough calories. Two, you have to eat those calories consistently. Can't be like, I'm not even going to say that. We're just going to keep it simple. You have to eat those calories consistently. You need to have some way to interrupt your behavior patterns with binging. And if you purge, that too. So some sort of interruption tactic that varies person to person. And last but not least, you need to feel your feelings. And that is the core of stopping binge eating. There are other factors, I know, but if you could boil it down to four things, it would be eating enough, eating consistently, interrupting your behaviors, patterns, and feeling your feelings. And I'll let that settle. I can just hear you screaming on the other end of this podcast. Just, I'm in your ear and you're just like, so simple. Okay, let me expand upon it. The reason is, so of course, binge eating comes from a variety of factors. And I understand that sometimes it's created from a trauma response. It can be a coping tactic. It can be a response from malnutrition and dieting. It can be all these different things. It can be, it could be from having like undiagnosed different mental capacities. It could be from being neurodivergent. Like maybe you're stimulating with binging and food because you actually have ADHD and you don't know it. All these sorts of things can be happening that are creating binging. So there's various causes, but I still think all these things hold up with those various causes. And then sometimes there's hormonally stuff going on, but if you don't use these core things, you can't even know if that is possibly something going on. And then, so there's multiple different causes, but I still think all these things hold true, and I'll explain why. So one, eating enough. You have to make sure, and eating enough varies person to person. And I always think that for most people, you're going to need to eat more than you think. That's just, it's not everyone, but I feel like most people I talk to, they constantly need more food than they think. And that's because in recovery, you are, especially if you're binging and purging, have a long history of restriction, all that sort of stuff, you're healing your body. Like your body is pretty broken down. Whether you can see the damage or not, it is healing from all the repeated behaviors and damage and that sort of stuff. And you are also, so you're just trying to heal your digestive system alone, but everything else in your body too, and regrow. And then you are also trying to reshape patterns, habit pathways, right? And that actually takes energy, believe it or not. And then to also be emotionally processing the things that you're processing, because you are suddenly getting rid of a coping skill. You're also practicing delayed gratification. You're using a lot more energy and mental focus and effort in order to not binge and to break that habit pattern and to feel your feelings and to make sure you're doing eating enough and eating diligently. And then you're digesting more food than what you're used to sometimes. And then you're healing your body. You're using so much more energy. So you're probably going to need more food than what you think you need. So that's number one. But also you need to eat enough purely for the reason of, if you're in a calorie deficit, if you're not eating enough for what your body needs, you have more reason and more actual physical drive to binge. You have more hunger, you have more reason to binge and have that pattern repeat over and over and over again. Eating enough might not stop the binging and the purging. It might not. That was not the case for me, but it certainly helps, and it takes a big problem away. It takes a huge variable away, and it's very hard to do all the rest of the things that I say if you are not eating enough, because it's like you're trying to row a boat and it's filling with water, and you're just like, instead of patching the massive hole that the water's coming in from, you're just bucketing out the water. That's not how it works. That's not gonna go so well. You need to patch the hole rather than trying to get the water out. All the other things are you trying to get the water out, but this is like one of the big macro things you have to do. Otherwise, the problem will keep returning, or the urgency to return to the behavior at the very least will keep you going, and that usually burns people out eventually. So number one is you have to be eating enough. You have to be eating consistently. Or you have to be eating enough and get enough calories to reduce the need and urgency to binge. Now, eating consistently is another thing, because eating consistently, it might seem like, oh, well, as long as you're getting enough calories, then it's fine. But it builds this idea of abundance and reduces scarcity, and it builds trust and knowing that food will always be available and food is there, and you don't have to binge on food in order to access it and to enjoy it. That consistently, rain or shine, every 2 to 3 hours, or even more frequently if you need it in the beginning, you're going to have food. It's going to be there. And there's less, again, urgency of binging. And it builds this trust with you and food, because you can tell yourself, oh, we have enough calories, we're going to eat enough, all those sorts of things. But if food isn't consistently appearing for you, you're still going to have that scarcity there. So it's super important to eat enough and eat consistently. Also, for just balancing your blood sugar, your hunger, you don't want to let, especially if the binge eating recovery, you don't want to let your hunger to get too extreme. Of course, you do need to, at some point in recovery, practice being hungry. You need to learn how to accept the feeling of hunger. That is an important basic intuitive signal, right? That is crucial to your survival, and it's not bad. But in the beginning, you don't want to push your hunger too far. That's going to more likely lead to binging. So two big macro things: eating enough, eating consistently. The other one is interrupting your behaviors. Now, this could be in various ways, but the reason I say this instead of one specific method is that there are different ways to interrupt your behaviors with binging and purging. But I do know that if you don't have some sort of interruption tactic, it's likely that the behavior will keep going automatically. And people think it should just go away sometimes, or I think there's a lot of gurus online that say, oh, as long as you eat enough and you're abundant with food, your behaviors will go away. And for me, that wasn't the case. It reduced it for sure, but I was still binging and purging. And that's because it had become an automatic habit. It was super unconscious. And I was using it for reasons that weren't just about hunger and wanting the food. For me, binging, and for a lot of people, binging was my drug. It was my numbing tactic. It was how I chilled out or reduced stress, or just what I did, or just felt like, honestly, something I wanted to do. I just became addicted to that cycle. And so even if I was eating enough, eating consistently, it wasn't just a hunger or malnourishment thing anymore. It was a addictive cycle thing. And therefore, I had to put intentional action in order to stop the binging. I had to interrupt it somehow. And it was so automatic for me, which is why that was hard in the beginning, but then finding a way to interrupt it actually helped me stop. So the way I did it and the way I recommend most people do it, but there are many different methods for interrupting your tactics, and you have to find the right one and tweak it for you, is what I'd say. It's the caveat. But the first way to interrupt your binging behaviors is, one, you have to get aware of what even they are. Like, I know that sometimes people, they binge at all points of the day, and they think that there's no pattern at all. But just review the last time you binged. Don't try to think of all of them. Review the last time you binged. When did it start? How did you know you were binging? At what point did you start recognizing that it was going to occur? Did it happen in the evening, morning? What triggers were happening beforehand? What thoughts and feelings were going on in your head that kind of led to it? And what happened afterwards? What did you do afterwards? All those sorts of things. And the reason that you do that is like, oh my gosh, Jacqueline, I know all these things. One, I find that people don't actually know everything that's going on until they review it in detail. And they tend to remember things once they go through those prompts. And they're like, oh, actually, this thing happened. And like, it seems super obvious that they're just a big fuck up and they just binged and they just couldn't get their shit together. But actually, there was this really big event happening that led them to this. Like, for example, actually yesterday, I didn't binge, but I definitely really coped with food yesterday. And for those guys that listen, are like, oh, aren't you supposed to be recovered? Sometimes you still cope with food. It happens, okay? And like, I'm totally cool with that. It's not my only coping method, but I had a really stressful event happen to me yesterday, and I came home and I just kind of unconsciously ate the last little bit of chips that I had and just didn't really think at all. And then after I had those chips, I was like, wait, why am I eating these chips? Like, this isn't even really that good. I'm not really focused on it or thinking about it. And then, but after eating the chips, I was able to kind of like think about things and like just like my body had kind of calmed down a little bit from the stress. And I was like, oh, right. It wasn't because of the stressful event, but because the stressful event happened, I reached for the first kind of like numbing thing I could find, which was leftover chips that I still had, and just kind of ate those unconsciously. But if I had not reviewed it, I would think like, I'm just a lost cause and I'm just eating chips for no reason. What's wrong with me? It was because of these correlated events, right? So you need to review what happened. And I recommend either doing an audio diary of it or a video diary or writing it down. And you may think, I'm just going to do it in my head. Most people can't, unless you've got like a super special brain or you just have a photographic memory and everything. Most of us just don't. Write it down. You will find out more if you write it down. And so that's beneficial because you can find causes for things that are happening. But two, the main purpose of this that I think is even more important is that you're raising awareness around that automatic habit. Because when you're binging, for me, it happened like that. Like just boom, I was suddenly eating Oreos and I didn't know how it happened. It felt like it happened out of nowhere. But the more I reviewed these things and sometimes even took guesses as to what I thought was happening, even if I was taking incorrect guesses on it, like I thought that that's what was occurring, but it really wasn't. My brain was more tuned into, okay, but what is happening here? Like, was my guess correct? Like, I'm going to be more observant next time. And I became more tuned into recognizing early triggers and little things that were leading to binging. And here's where your superpower comes in. If you can become more aware of the things that are leading to it, you can stop earlier and you can have a chance at changing course before things get too far. Of course, that you should be able to, in theory, stop at any time. And I sometimes recommend pausing, which we'll talk about in a second, pausing when you've already started binging or something, just taking 2 minutes to like feel your feelings, see what's going on. But if you can't, even that's useful. But whenever you can, reviewing these triggers, if you can stop earlier, it's going to be easier because the momentum hasn't built up yet. So that's why reviewing this is super helpful for interrupting behaviors. And then the second step is actually in the moment doing something small to kind of change that course or just pause time for a second. I've always talked about this. The first episode of my podcast talked about this, and I think the second one, and then I've talked about it many times since. But for me, it was the pause where I took 2 minutes. When I recognized urges earlier on, I set a timer on my phone and I just took 2 minutes not to go on Instagram, not to distract myself, just to be present in the moment and feel my feelings rather than trying to run away, rather than even trying to stop the binge, rather than trying to stop the feeling. I just observed with curiosity and felt what was going on in my body without making a decision to not or to do it or not. And then after the 2 minutes was over, then I decided afterwards if I wanted to. And I did this with full permission to binge afterwards if I wanted to, because I knew otherwise I wouldn't do it and I would just binge and I would just dead serious about that. And then this is what helped me to actually stop and then go do something else. So that'd be the next thing, is find some sort of tactic you can use once you've raised your awareness and you know when it's happening. You're not just completely blind and suddenly stuffing your face with Oreos and you don't even know how you got here and you feel like it's already too late. Once you can find the point where you can have a little bit of a speed bump, basically, which is what a pause is, then find something in the moment that works for you. Sometimes it's 30 seconds. Sometimes it's only 10 seconds that you can manage and it's at the end of binging and purging. Sometimes it's mid-binge or something like that. But whenever you can remember to do it, whenever you feel capable of doing it, and whatever you feel capable of doing, do that. And I'd recommend during that time, make sure you're not distracting yourself. Make sure if all you can do is just breathe for that amount of time, that is still useful. And that will eventually expand into other things. But it is a helpful tactic. And that eventually can lead to binging stopping altogether. And also, I want to preface this, though, don't try to do this without not eating enough and eating consistently and meeting your basic needs. You need to be doing that. Otherwise, this is going to be extremely difficult because your energy is not there. Your urgency to binge is still there. And your mental faculties really just aren't there. They aren't thinking as clearly as you think they are. So you really need to be taking care of your basic needs before doing this. And the last thing that I talk about with binge eating is you need to be able to feel your feelings. And there are various different ways to do this. Again, I talk about this a lot in the program and in my course. I think the best way that I have found to feel my feelings, although there are different ways, and you can just look up on Google, how do you feel your feelings, and you will find a plethora of different resources on how to be present with feelings. But I think the first thing that I really had to learn, and I constantly have to relearn, if I'm being honest, is to observe and be with a feeling rather than trying to make it go away, rather than trying to resist it, and rather than trying to make it a problem. Feelings are indicators. They're experiences in your body. They're vibrations in your body. They can hurt. They can be fun. They can be all these things, but they're experiences in your body. They don't have to be a problem. You don't have to react to them. You can just be with them. And that's something that connected with me quite well. I guess I'll say it again, is when an urge is a feeling, right? An urge to binge is a feeling. And if you can learn to be with that urge feeling, with just observing it rather than reacting to it immediately, it's like just holding it and watching it and observing it, how it feels in your body, and knowing that you don't have to actually do anything about it, is a powerful moment in everyone's recovery and helps you a lot. And that is something that has helped me a ton. And so that's one thing to say, but then how to actually feel your feelings. The best method that works for me, I have two really that I rely upon all the time, but there are definitely different methods out there. Go look it up on Google again. Do a little research after this. My favorite method is describing the feeling in my body. And it's a little intellectual, but basically, instead of thinking through it or trying to like overthink it or something like that or resist it, instead ask yourself, where is the feeling in your body? Is it expanding? Is it constricting? Is it moving? Is it stationary? Is it vibrating? Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it airy? How does it feel? Like, what exactly are you experiencing when you experience this feeling? Is it in one location in your body? Is it in multiple locations in your body? Does it have a shape? Does it have a color? Does it have a sound? And does it have a name? Is it trying to tell you anything? And by the very act of, without doing anything else, the very act of having to describe your feelings forces you to feel your feelings, because you literally have to tap into the feeling to feel it, right? And then I find it's also helps you feel more safe, because you're putting a name to something and it's no longer this just all-encompassing feeling. It's kind of attaching to reality of, oh, this isn't overwhelmed dying, because sometimes it literally, when you have an urge, feels like you're dying. For me, urges would feel like, again, this urgency to binge, but also it would feel like my throat was constricting. My mouth would feel super active too, like I wanted to be chewing or something. Like, it would just feel super active and it would feel kind of tight. My throat would feel really tight and almost hurt in some sort of way. And my chest would also feel super heavy, constricted, and my heart would be racing, and usually it was centered around my chest and throat and mouth. That's where I wanted to binge. And then I'd also feel just kind of fidgety all over, and like I wanted to crawl out of my own skin. That was like the best way I could describe an urge for me, and sometimes still feel that way when I have anxiety, which is sometimes unfortunately frequent. But that describing that feeling alone, and sometimes I would even write down or say to myself, like, are you going to die? And it was a serious question, and I always have to answer myself, say, no, I'm not going to die. And I was like, can you be with this feeling? And I have to say, yes, I can be with this feeling. Just helped remind me that I'm like, I'm going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And sometimes I put my hand on my heart and like say, like, we're with this feeling. You're going to be all right. Another common way to feel your feelings is to actually lean into the feeling. So meaning, a lot of people, when they're feeling something uncomfortable, they kind of like round their shoulders and go into themselves and curl up, and they like hold their breath a little bit, which is what I would do. And so you might want to consider to instead breathe into the feeling. So take a deep breath in, you know, and then roll your shoulders back, open up your chest, and allow the feeling into your body. I think about doing cold plunges, and something about cold plunges, if you've never done a cold plunge, is that it is painful. Super, it's not just cold, it is pain, like little stabs all over your body of knives. And something that happens, it's an involuntary reaction, is that you can't breathe suddenly. When you get into a cold plunge, you literally can't breathe. Your body just goes into shock reaction. I forget what the term is for it. So something you have to do is you have to, one, allow the panic to settle when you have the cold plunge, because that's what's happening, and then try to start regulating your breath and trying to move and release the shock and tension in your body until you can breathe again and regulate that going on. So that is a way to feel a feeling just like you would a cold plunge. I think everyone, especially those who struggle to feel their feelings, should do a cold plunge because it's one of the best examples I can think of how to feel an uncomfortable emotion. And that, my friends, is the most, one of the most crucial parts as well, on top of everything else I said, because that is literally how you can feel an urge to binge and not react to it. If you can learn to feel it without reacting to it and understand that it doesn't require reaction, it doesn't require action, you don't have to binge just because you're feeling that feeling, that then will in turn allow you not to binge. And then ultimately, after you feel that feeling, after you pause, after you interrupt your behavior and you eat enough to eat consistently, you can then decide not to binge. And that's something super triggering. I think if I heard that, and believe me, I'd be like, what do you mean just decide not to binge? Like, it's not that easy. And it's not. It's a hard decision. But if you go through these processes, I think then at some point, you'll be at least a little bit more rational to then decide intentionally to do something else. And that is required. Again, like I said before, if you're an addictive behavior, it has to be intentional. It can't be this thing that you just wish happens. Sometimes if you do all these things, it reduces the urge and need. And so binging could just naturally float away. And I hope that for you, I want that for you. That can happen to some people, but it just wasn't the case for me. It isn't the case for a lot of people that I work with. You have to kind of, as one of my clients says, throw the book at it a little bit, and you have to intentionally decide on things. Otherwise it might never happen. So that's my recovery 101 on how to stop binging. I'll have another episode on how to stop purging and how to feel your feelings. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. A lot of these content pieces, I'm literally going to be talking about this in my group coaching call today, are from the group coaching program that I do on bulimia recovery, the 8-week group coaching program. So if you want to know more about that, go to my website, bingebreakers.com. If you want more information or content from me, go to the website or go to my Instagram at bingebreakers_bulimia. And, other than that, I hope that you enjoyed this episode and I hope you found it helpful. Never ever give up on yourself, my friend. Bye.